assertion. The Lord himself, in incarnation, as the son of Satyavati yesterday, will consider his compilation of the Vedas or the Vedic literature, though, to be very difficult for the less intelligent persons with short life. And thus, he will divide the tree of the Vedic knowledge into different branches, according to the circumstances of the particular age. Purport. Herein, Brahma mentions the future compilation of Srimad Bhagavatam for the short living persons of the age of Kali. As explained in the first canto, the less intelligent persons of the age of Kali would be not only short-lived, but also perplexed with so many problems of life due to the awkward situation of the godless human society. Advancement to material comforts of the body is activity in the mode of ignorance. Advancement to the material comforts of the body is activity in the mode of ignorance, according to the laws of material nature. Real advancement of knowledge means progress of knowledge and self-realization. But in the age of Kali, the less intelligent man mistakenly considered the short lifetime of 100 years, now factually reduced to about 40 or 60 years, to be all in all. They are less intelligent because they have no information of eternal life. They identify the temporary material body existing for 40 years and consider it the only basic principle of life. Such persons are described as equal to the asses and fools. But the Lord, as a compassionate father of all living beings, impart unto them the vast Vedic knowledge and short treatise like the Bhagavad Gita and for the graduates Srimad Bhagavatam. The Puranas and the Mahabharata are also similarly made by Vyasadeva for the different types of men in the modes of material nature, but none of them are independent of the Vedic principles. Srila Prabhupada. So, it's a very significant verse, and today's day also very significant. It is not mentioned in the morning announcement. Has very much linked personality of Vyasadeva with the Bhishma. As I said, the Lord himself, incarnation of Vyasadeva, divide Vedic knowledge to suit the Kali Yuga brains for us. As I said, there is all learned men, and we say to Kali men, are almost always so short lives. They are quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. So that's a symptom of the age of Kali. So yesterday I was considering that. And then again, his hint. In the future, yesterday I can do Vishama Sundara mentioned how this prediction of Kupali Srimad Bhagavatam is predicted way before it's done. So, because of less intelligent person would be not only short-lived but also perplexed with so many problems of life due to the awkward position or situation of the Godless human society. So originally there was only one Veda. Some said Atava, some said Yajur Veda. So it was transmitted in oral transmission, it was not anything written for. It was existing there, elevated sages with their Shukidaris, they could remember the entire Vedas and their conclusion as well. But as a Kali approached them, Srila Vyasadeva considered this will not be so anymore. So you have to kind of try to suit the Vedic teaching to them. So then he divided Vedas into four and put it in writing down. But after doing such a vast job, he felt insufficient, he felt not satisfied with that. And he was pondering again, how can I reach more people, put it down more. So he said he wrote 18 Puranas and then wrote Mahabharata for the here says less intelligent people from this age. But again, it was not enough. Not enough, you could feel what's going to happen in Kali Yuga. People's intelligence decreasing, quite some lazy, always is disturbed, as well says there. So then he summarized entire Vedic knowledge under Goddess Sumara Damuni into Vedanta Sutra. What Vedanta Sutra means? It means like ultimate conclusion of all knowledge. But again, there was no dissatisfaction in the heart. And then Narada appeared and asked him, okay, you wrote entire Vedanta Sutra. What Vedanta Sutra means? It means conclusion of all knowledge. And what is that conclusion? Final conclusion of all knowledge. What is that? Veda is chasara, aham veda vedyo, Vedanta krit veda rachaham. So that's it. And then you got a glimpse of it. He scattered like knowledge of the absolute throughout the Vedic knowledge that you couldn't find. You have to, you know, it was just there, it was not obvious. So that's what he was missing. So then, of course, under that instruction, and then teasing by Narada, you kind of bewildering people with all this knowledge instead of giving the essence. Then embark to write Srimad Bhagavatam, which is like a better commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So now ask why Vyasadeva divided Vedas, we already mentioned, in verse. But is that stopped with what Vyasadeva divided? He divided four Vedas, I mean, there are the Vedas in the four, he gave to his disciples, and what did he do? He divided more and more down. What's the purpose to suit to the people according to time and circumstances? Us. Verse itself says. And also all knowledge, not just that this is not stopped with Vedas, neither with divided Vedas, but all knowledge, all bona fide paths, religions, all scriptures, they also sprout from the Vedas. It's not just our Vedic knowledge, but they sprout from the Vedas. And that Prabhupada said on the end of purport, but none of them are independent of the Vedic principles. All moral conducts you can think of, injunctions, regulations, in all parts, all religion, all tradition, they sprout from the Vedas. But like we have mentioned Bhishma, today is his last day, Bhishma Panchaka. But when Bhishma started to instruct the gathering sages and everybody, what he started with? He started with moral principles. Don't steal, don't cheat, don't marry the wife of somebody else. Very much looks like the Ten Commandments in the Bible. These are basic, but then he proceeded to instruct further, sophisticated knowledge. And when Maharaj Yudhishthira asked him, okay, what is the highest form of worship? What sort of mantra we should chant? Whose name we should chant? Highest. Then what? Then, towards the end, Bhishma told them, the chanting of the name of Vishnu, therefore he is author of Vishnu Sahasranam scriptures, thousand name of Vishnu. That's the highest form of worship. So we start with morality. Many religions are full of moral conclusions, moral injunctions. But there is much more. Also, all books of our acharyas, our devotees, what is that? Again, the mission of Srila Vyasadeva. Why would acharyas write so many books? Why would acharyas, after those acharyas mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, write the books again? For the same reason, how to put this knowledge, Vedic conclusion to the people in general. Everybody, all our contemporary devotees, our gurus, whoever writes the books, is the same conclusion. Same reason, all of us do. See? Also, it didn't stop with Srimad Bhagavatam. We also try to put Srimad Bhagavatam to the understanding of people, the same way as yesterday. To suit the teaching and understanding. And all outreach programs, all lectures, everything it is just continuation of mission of Srila Dasani. To somehow suit to the knowledge of the more and more dull and not understanding people's intelligence nowadays. You try to put down, to give them this Vedic knowledge in some form that they can accept. So we are all representatives of yesterday, of all the devotees in our movement, and all preachers, so all Vaishnavas. Like this is Yashasam, the wrong person sitting maybe there, but you know, I try my best. We all try our best. So that's a thing. So that's what Vyasa taught. He wrote so much, divided, because of outreach, how to reach people. So therefore, whatever we have, Vyasadeva was literary incarnation of Supreme. His literary qualities was his main qualities. But whatever we qualities are also, we try to use it somehow to put a preaching in our project, that's our initial idea to engage is how to preach, how to reach the people. Our project, all our plans. Is that on the mind of every devotee in the movement? On anyone's mind here, one thing, how we can reach people, how can we, what's that hampering our, you know, what is that blocking up progress in preaching field? What is that? So all of us pondering in our mind, how we can preach. Every devotee in this movement thinking about how to make people accept Krishna consciousness. In the same way, like if you remember our lives from before also, you know, most of us are kind of spiritual people seeking, looking for, searching, isn't it? And then maybe we came across this teaching, but we didn't yet arrive so well, you know, understanding. But at some point, you realize, wow, wait a minute, you know, this is something special here, you know. It's like an amazing jewelry. What is that? See, it's something amazing there. What is that? It's unfortunate by influence of others who try to put the knowledge to the lowest mankind. At some point you realize, what a minute, you know, it's something very special here. It's really distinct, something very distinct. Everyone remembers that moment. You read Prabhupada books, this is just something different. And it really shatters, not shatters, but changes of all our conception of life, of religion, spirituality, puts it so different perspective, man, gives you some depth to it. But wait a minute, that's a fortune to recognize that. And then we embark into that path, let me search for that treasure, a treasure hunt. We embark on that treasure hunt. What is that? What is that? And then, what is that embarkment on the path? Is man produces devotional service. We try. See? And sometimes we feel, we are very close. We feel this energy of excitement. You're almost there. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare. You're almost there. You almost hit the spot the treasure is. But then, next moment or next day, you feel so far away. You cannot even open our mouth to chant Holy Name. But then, because we believe that promise, we read, it's important to remind ourselves, to read and study, to remind ourselves, we continue. So, even if I did reject it, we just continue. But one day, we'll find that treasure. We will hit right in the midst of treasure chamber of it. And what will happen then? Krishna will say, but where you are for so long, you being, I was searching for you, hoping you will come, you know, all these years, where you been, what you been doing, I'm so glad, so happy to see you, finally you can make, you will say that, like in the Gopakumar story, how Krishna embraced me, they say, I was missing you so much. Here I'm just going to a small side point of that. What hampers our preaching? I just know, court, you know, upstairs when I was coming down, you know, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur said, why you don't harvest the benefits of chanting of the holy name? He said, because our material desires sprout from the association with material sound. With all of this material desire, which is sidetracking. But I would say that we all of us dealing with basic anarthas, that's what it is. Dealing with our basic anarthas, although we know kind of essence of teachings. Dealing with our basic anarthas, as I said, there's quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, misfortune shortly. We all have all flavor of that, to less or more degree. Still, we practice something. It's a flavor of it, not less. But deep, Krishna consciousness is so exalted, so deep, like no other process. We who practice for years, we know that. There's no other process like such a depth of knowledge. And then our basic anarthas may put some people off, intentionally or inattentionally, because we're dealing with basic anarthas. So those who are spiritual seekers, for example, they may be distanced. It happens to me also. Because in the base, all of us, as a spiritual seeker, we'll come with utopian ideas of spirituality. Is anyone here, when he started spiritual life, besides us who were born in Krishna consciousness, they know already from the very beginning, all of us who were spiritual seekers, we have come up with utopian ideas about spirituality. Really, you know, everything is ideal. You know, I was imagining sunny day and nature and fields and like people light dressed. Of course, I must have long hair. I was a hippie, so I was imagining. But it seems like Jesus light dressed and everything, energy and then smile. And everything is perfect. There's no corruption, no anarthas. So what people imagine, so when they come seeking, they may kind of bounce when they see, you know, basic anarthas, dealing with basic anarthas still. So they are kind of distanced. But what we have to do, and what we have to do with them is to expose them to those personalities who have such a deep understanding, realization, knowledge, and purity. They will open up this nectar in their heart. Like the other day, a few days ago, Garuda Prabhu gave such an amazing lecture that, like, it's amazing, such an association with such a devotees. Like, when he speaks and brings this depth of knowledge, you know, it's like, wow, you know, then in his association, in association of such a personality, all your basic anarthas you're dealing with seem so insignificant. You kind of rise above because you see them, wow, I'm dealing with this basic, look at this depth here. You know, in their association, you realize that. Therefore, association of such a saintly person is so important. You know, by their presence, by their speed, by their glances, they put you from here to there, at least temporary, you're there. You know, and all these anarthas simply melt away. As you keep association with them, then it's insignificant, all these anarthas. So therefore, we have to expose ourselves to that. So important, association with elevated devotees. And we bring this core essence, like this glass, that really far, you know. And what about people who are not spiritual? They don't even deal with anarthas. They are anarthas personified. And then, you know, their idea of happiness is if you can enhance those anarthas as far as possible, there's nothing else. They hope maybe I will reach happiness through that. So, you know, we can't even. How long they will need to get interest in spiritual life anyway. To preach is very difficult. And if they come there again, as I said, it's utopian ideas. So these are what Vyasadeva is responding now, how to reach those people. Anarthas personified. you're pondering about it, and you get a glimpse of depth of this knowledge, which is in possession of elevated devotees. The Vyasadeva mission is our mission. So now I will draw the line between Vyasadeva and Bhishma, today Bhishma Panchaka. It's obvious, this verse is perfect for today. I'm not qualified to speak, but my understanding, it's amazing. Who is Vyasadeva? Is elder stepbrother of Bhishma. In one sense, grandfather of Pandavas, real grandfather, more close is Vyasadeva. But Bhishma through the lineage of his younger brother, Vichitravirga, is called Mahapitama Vyasadeva. So, you all read Mahabharata, but then a quick story of Vyasadeva appeared. Parashara Muni, great saint, he got before benediction that one day he got a very, very powerful son. So once on his way to his whatever he was doing, he came across the river, near the river, and then he needed to be crossed over the river. And then when Tarsan was showing him, he realized, oh, he's a woman. But she was so enchanting that Vyasadeva, Parashara Muni was totally blown, so attracted to her. And then he recalled his blessings of these saints before, but he said, now it's time to get such a powerful son. So of course it was some pastime she didn't want, but then he arranged everything. He created the island, and in some places he created a fog, and then constructed a small cottage. So, and also he retained her virginity as well. And because she was a fisherman's daughter, she was blessed to smell like a lotus flower at that time. She was actually Apsara from previous life, Satyavati. She was Apsara, she was cursed to be born in a fisherman. So he begot the son in her, and instantly son was born in that place. But he took him in him, and he told Satyavati, nobody will know about this, and when you need Vyasadeva, or me, didn't give him anything yet, but he will come to I to help you. So. And then we come to the Maharaj Shantanu. That's another very link to Vyasadeva to Bhishma also. When the Maharaj Shantanu first met the Ganga, he was also totally enchanted, attracted to her, must marry her. But then she was in a condition that whatever he should not question anything. Just be silent. And he promised. Love is blind. He promised. And then what happened? Every year, 7 years, she would just, as soon as a child is born, she would take a child, bring to the Ganga, throw in the Ganga. He was devastated, but he remembered. And it was going on for 7 times. She threw all the children. But on the 8 times, he said, oh, wait a minute, I just can't do anything wrong. Why are you doing this? He said, you broke your promise, and I said, if you break your promise, I will leave. But you're lucky. I'll give you this child. I'm not throwing him in the Ganga. In the river. So he was left with the son and Ganga left. This son was Bhishma Deva. He was one of the 7 or 8 Vasus, the powerful sage. So then after that, he met another girl of the years, was again the same Satyavati on the back of the river, same Satyavati, met her. He was also totally enchanted by her. He wanted to marry her, but father of her put some heavy conditions. You can marry her if your son born from her becomes emperor, not your son, which was Bhishma Deva. So Bhishma Deva then promised, okay, I'll never marry. He gave one first love. I'll never become king. Yeah. But they said, oh, but he may marry, but his son will become king. And then he promised, heavy vow, by which he is called Devavrata, is it?
Yeah.
Bhishma.
Yeah.
Bhishma. Heavy vow. I will never marry. For Kshatriya, this is just impossible. I will never marry. And then marriage was settled. Bhishma agreed. But it's amazing how. And then Shantanu was so pleased that he gave him basically boon of immortality. He gave him boon of immortality. So how is that possible? How Shantanu could give such a boon of immortality practically, when even Brahma could not give to Hiranyakashipu? How is that possible that Shantanu could give? I was pondering about it, because Shantanu was truly pleased. He was a devotee, first of all. Truly pleased his people, that he was able to grant anything Krishna wanted to tell. While Hiranyakashipu, it's not that Lord Brahma was pleased with Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu created so much disturbance that then he was suffocating. You know, so just to break that, save them from this calamity, he promised anything. I'll do anything, okay, Hiranyakashipu. You want this, you want that, no problem. He was not pleased with you. And in this case, so when the devotee is pleased with you, blessing go far, far away. But even that blessing, woman can break, as we say later on. Like even Vyasadeva is immortal sage, and Bhishma also. I mean, when you desire to, you'll die. This is a boon you got. You'll die only if you desire so. That means immortality. Vyasadeva also is still present in his ashram, his elder brother. So anyway, the story goes, Satyavati, she delivered two sons, to Shantanu, Vichitravira and Chitrangada. And Vyasadeva also, what's his name? Shantanu, he died also pretty young. There was no throne. And then Chitrangada was on throne, he was elder brother. But he was a very powerful warrior, conquering so many kings. But once upon a time, he encountered Gandharva with the same name Chitrangada. And they were fighting. For 3 years they were fighting. And then he killed him. So again, there was nobody to be on the throne. And Chitrangada was pretty young, but it was only one. So he was installed as a king. And then Bhishmadeva came to the scene. He wanted to marry, find a wife to Vichitravira. So in the neighbor kingdom, there was Swayamvara with three sisters, Amba, Ambika, and Balika. So he kidnapped them, all three, for Vichitravira, by force. Nobody could defeat him. Bhishma was absolute king of warriors. So captured them. But then when he brought them back, the Vichitra is, Amba, one of the three sisters, said, "You made a great mistake. I wanted to marry Shalva, but you didn't give him a chance to give him garment, to accept him. What should I do now?" So under consultation of saints, he said, "Bring her back to the Shalva. You know, these two wives can stay in Chitravira." So he took her back to Shalva, but Shalva was proud of also, you know, bound by regulations. He said, "Oh, I cannot. Bhishma touched you already. I cannot marry any girl who was touched by other men." And he didn't want to marry her. And she was devastated. And then by instruction of sadhus, she said, "The only person you can marry is Bhishma. He touched you." But Bhishma, no. Swati said, "Sun can fall down, whatever, stars can fall from the sky. I'll never break my promise. I gave a vow, I'll never marry." And then even Parashurama was involved to fight, to convince him. He defeated the Parashurama. Then what Satyavati, Amba, could do? She went to perform austerities. So for 12 or 17 years, perform austerities. "I'll revenge. I'll be cause of joy." She performed austerities to destroy you. What's happened next? Yeah, again, it was not nobody on the throne. Vichitravira had a son, also his brother didn't. And then what happened? That Satyavati remembered that there is a son who will hide in the she needs. So then she invited Vyasadeva. But Vyasadeva was so fearsome, sadhu, saint, tyagi, she was looking scary, terrible, that these two girls should be just afraid to face him. Then they sent the maidservant first. And maidservant cooperated with Vyasadeva, but she was Shudrani. Then Shudra was born, which is Vidura, first son. And then second was Amba. She was so afraid that her face turned pale. And then Pandu was born. Pandu means face, pale face. Pandu was born. And then another, Ambarika. She was so afraid that she closed her eyes. And then Blam King was born, which is Dhritarashtra. Now Amba, of course, next life. She was born as a girl, Ambarika. But because, what's the name of the king? Drupad. Didn't have any descendant, but you need a son. But then he got a boon that people get a child, but he will be female, but later it turned to male, so he accepted. So, girl was born in his kingdom, but he didn't tell to anyone. He told everybody his son. And he was training and bringing up this girl as a kshatriya, king, warrior, as a man. And even the time when the girl, the boy, so-called, was suitable for marriage, even find her another girl. Nobody knew. He was disgusting. He was beautiful, but was enchanting her or his beauty. He found her actually a girl. But then when they married, of course, it was discovered. It was a big scandal. This king was enraged. He took the army, went to go and kill this Chol kingdom.
The girl,
and to destroy everything. But then, of course, Ambarika, in that time, the girl realized the boon was that I would become man, but didn't happen. So she left, performed austerities, and in some cave, some yaksha was living. He found her, what are you doing? And she explained everything, and said, you must be, he said, I can give you any boon you want. And she told him, it was very difficult, but we can exchange our sexes for the time being. So when you accomplish what you came for, then you can give me back my manhood, and I give you your womanhood. So then she became a man, and she came back to the kingdom, and then she disclosed, I'm a man, I'm not a woman. And this king sent a few girls to examine her, so this is a man, not a girl. So then Shikhandini, from that time, became Shikhandi. But he was, as a woman, trained as a very powerful warrior. He was really, in Bhagavad Gita is mentioned in so many places, Mahabharata, he was extremely powerful warrior. Although not a man, but he was a woman. But one of the things which Bhishma promised, that he never faced a woman, never faced, attacked a man who is without weapon, who is escaping. So he promised to never attack a woman. So on the day when battle was proceeding very close to Bhishma Deva was so fearsome fighting that no one could defeat him. It was just impossible. He was just destroying the entire army of Pandavas. Nobody, they were afraid what to do. And on that evening, they were giving their wounds. They think, what should we do? And then Arjuna at that time was very morose because he lost his son that day, son which he got with Ulupi, when he was abducted by Naga girl, reptilian kind of girl. He had son in him and he died that day. He was still very morose. The Krishna approached him. You're morose nowadays, today, but this war is coming. Your army will be destroyed unless you do something. And then, of course, there's those five arrows. Which Arjuna got benediction from Duryodhana when Duryodhana was attacked by Gandharvas earlier. He really defeated, killed Duryodhana, gave him a boon. When he said, ask any boon, but then Arjuna said, no problem, later I will ask. And he forgot about that. But then Krishna reminded Arjuna, go now there. There's a five arrows which Bhishma empowered by his power to kill all five Pandavas next day. And he said, ask Duryodhana for those arrows. And then Arjuna came, you know, Duryodhana was kind of happy. Oh, whatever you call me, nice to see you, I'll give you whatever you want. What you want? You want kingdom without fighting? It was just teasing Arjuna. Of course, he wouldn't probably give until maybe the end of the war. But then Arjuna said, you have five arrows. You remember Boon? He said, you can give me up, no problem. Whatever you want, I'll give you. Give us those five arrows. I was, God said. We said, how do you know about that? He said, Krishna told me. And then Arjuna was reflection. What am I? It's Krishna. But he knows everything. How is that possible? Anyway, he gave me. But then Bhishma promised, I'll fight with my best to kill Pandavas, with arrows or without. So next day, he was fighting so fearlessly, that destroying everything. But Arjuna was hesitant to fight. He didn't use his full power. He didn't want, and Krishna could see why Arjuna doesn't give his best. And then he was nearly defeated, covering the arrows. And then Krishna said, wait a minute. No one can defeat any of these five Pandavas. I must do something. And then he rises up over and promised he will never pick up any weapon. He said, that's it. And we're going to kill Bhishma. Kill. And he jumped from the chariot and ran towards Bhishma. But Arjuna said, God said, I'm so eager. Because I didn't fight to my full. Now Krishna is breaking his promise. Can you allow that? And he ran after Krishna, ran. And halfway there, grab Krishna's thighs, just to pull him up. Krishna didn't see, he ignored him totally. Just, you know, just continue like anything, was nothing there. And then finally he kind of tag his head, feet in the ground, Arjuna, and then slowing down. And as evening was approaching, just end of the battle. For that day, Krishna finally stopped. But while he was running there, Bhishma Deva was shooting the arrows. But Bhishma Deva was in ecstasy totally, seeing Krishna in such a beauty, cold, sweat, and perspiration, dust. And then this was like darshan for him. This made his life, this is what he was waiting for. He actually, his main thought in breaking Krishna's promise is to see this, how Krishna breaks his promise for Israel. He was in ecstasy. And then, of course, that day was very difficult. And then Pandavas came back to the camp, inquiring, what are you going to do? Bhishma, they have destroyed everybody. And then told him, okay, how Bhishma can be killed? They asked him, how can he kill? And Krishna told him, only Bhishma knows that. You have to go and ask him how he can be killed. And then, Maharaj Yudhishthira, he went and asked Bhishma, how can we defeat you? And then he told me the story of Shikhandi. He said, I promise never attack any woman. So if you place Shikhandi as a shield in front of Arjuna, I'll be defeated. This is Kshatriya. And for the next few days after, Arjuna was constantly with Shikhandi, attacking Bhishma. He was coming back from the port. And at some point, he was fierce and battered. You know, Arjuna was not any more sentimental. Attacking all of the pain in heart, attacking Bhishma, but Bhishma Deva was also covering Arjuna with arrows. But soon as Shikhandi would come across, he would desist. He would stop, he would not attack Arjuna. Shikhandi was there. Also, Shikhandi was shooting the arrows at Bhishma, covering the entire body. But he would just look with great anger to Shikhandi, but he would not attack. He would just turn away. He couldn't fight with others. In this way, his body was covered in arrows. He said he could put two fingers, but there is no arrows in his body. He was totally covered, totally. He was no celestial weapons. And at some point, then Bhishma kind of rose up on the chariot and realized, I'm going to heal. I think it's time to stop. And he heard a voice from the sky, seven muscles, who told him, Bhishma Dev, time to finish. It's time to end up and end surrender at that time. Just roll down from the chariot on his arrows and just crash there. And Arjuna approached. He said, can I do anything for you? He said, give a suitable pillow to Kshatriya. And then he shoot few arrows, create a pillow. That's a perfect pillow for Kshatriya. And he lay there for the next 51 or 58 days. And these arrows And towards the end, of course, when all sages from the entire universe gather to hear Bhishma's last word, because Bhishma is really most judged, misunderstood, probably greatest character in the entire Mahabharata. Many people condemn Bhishma's behavior, many people glorify him. But the last day, Krishna wanted to establish Bhishma's glory. Therefore, from that time, he is established as a Mahajana, authority of scripture, very holy spiritual knowledge. From that time, his last instructions on Bhishma. So, then Bhishma, of course, he gave amazing instructions. It's also Vishnu Sahasrana. And he was waiting his moment when some planet was traveling south in Uttaranayana. South is Dakshinayana, that goes up during the summer, and Uttaranayana down. In winter solstice, that day, that night, he decided that's the time to leave the body in that moment. 5,000 years ago, of course, this is probably this day, in our calendar, somewhere, I think next half of December is winter solstice. He decided, I'm going to do it now. Shri Bhishma Deva ki jai. Shri Vyasa Deva ki jai. Anyway, okay. Over the time, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.